Chapter 4, Psalm chapter 4, starting in verse 1 of Psalm chapter 4. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me, and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing, Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe, and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed, and be still, Selah. Offer the sacrifices of righteousness, and put your trust in the Lord. There may be many that say, Who will show us any good? Lord, lift thou up the light of thy countenance upon us. Thou hast put gladness in my heart, more than in the time that their corn and their wine increased. Verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety." Let's pray. Father, again, it is a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be able to preach your word. And Father, this morning I pray as I need you, Father, to give me strength, to give me boldness, to give me the very words that need to be preached this morning, Father. I pray, Father, that you would touch the hearts of each one here, that your word would go out, and as your word tells us, it will not return unto you void, but it will go out and it will accomplish that what you sent it to. And I pray, Father, that we'd be all drawn closer to you, that our faith would increase, and that you would be glorified. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Today I want to talk about safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. Safety in the Lord Jesus Christ. This day and time, he really is all that we have, right? If you look at what's going on, we can rest assured in the loving arms of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't put your trust in anything else, in anyone else, because as I already said, they will fail you. But we can safely rest assured in the loving arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and not be afraid. Not be afraid. Certainly not in any man-made way. If you could trust in any man-made way, then why do you lock your doors at night? Why do people get a concealed carry permit and carry? If we can trust in any man-made way for protection, then why do we need these things? Why do we need all of those? How about our children? You send them off to school, right? It used to be you only had to be worried about, you know, them getting beat up on the playground, right? Now you have to worry about them being shot. Now they have to be worried about that they might come home with some goofy idea of who they are. Even kids cannot just go to school anymore. It's not safe. It's becoming more and more dangerous out in the world. More and more dangerous out there. With each passing day, it comes more and more dangerous. But trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in Him all throughout your life, all you have to do is just live for Jesus. And He will make sure you safely arrive at home. People go, well, there's some people that were killed yesterday and they were born-again believers. Yeah, that did happen. There's some people laid down at night and didn't wake up this morning here. That's right. But Jesus will make sure you safely land where you're supposed to be. Trust in Him. We're safe in Jesus. In 2 Timothy 3:1, it says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." And we see perilous times coming, we go, man, I wonder why that's happening. because 2 Timothy 3:1 says that's going to happen. And I have to tell you, I can't picture my Savior sitting there on the right hand of God the Father chewing his fingernails to the quick. Because, oh my goodness, look at what's going on down there. I never saw that happening. I never saw it coming. And I got to tell you, I know firsthand that God sees everything because I read his word. And he says he sees everything. Nothing takes him by surprise at all. Takes us by surprise, right? And then we go into the word and we go, but it says, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Is anybody surprised that these things are happening? Because we shouldn't be. Because in the last days, perilous times shall come. I have to say, if we're not there now, where are we? Just look around at what's going on in the world. And we are in perilous times. It's amazing. David's life was filled with certain things, pressure, pain, and persecution. David had all of that, but in spite of that, David found himself in all those issues, he still found comfort and safety in the Lord. Can you imagine being hunted down? He still found safety in the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have never once in my life been looking over my shoulder that somebody was hunting me down to kill me. Not once. David had some things going on in his life that he could say, yeah, life was interesting. Life was difficult. Life was downright tough. But he could find comfort in God. He could find safety in his Lord and Savior. He also realized that nothing could ever destroy the relationship that he had with God. As a born-again child of God, nothing can interfere with your relationship to God. I've said before, and I'll say it again, you can hinder your fellowship with God. Your relationship is secure. Once a child of God, always a child of God. Here in Psalm 4, David acknowledged that his relationship and security was not based on who he was. It wasn't based on what he did. It was based on God. See, we can do a lot of things, but we aren't going to be able to keep ourselves eternally secure, but God can. God can take care of that. He declared in verse 8 of our text, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. If we're saved, if you're a born-again child of God, you can rest assured that because we have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Savior, that no matter what happens, we are safe. We are safe. People say, well, what happens if somebody shoots me today and I die? I would say, how much safer could you be as a child of God? If I take my last breath here, the safest place I could be is with him. I don't see a problem. Now, some people who care about me might find a problem in that, but I'm going to find no problem in the fact that I'm home with the Savior. We have safety and security in the Savior. There's a hymn out there, safe am I. Safe am I, safe am I, in the hollow of his hand, sheltered o'er, with his love forevermore. No ill can harm me, no foe alarm me, for he keeps both day and night. Safe am I in the hollow of his hand. If you know Christ as your own personal Savior, you are safe in Jesus Christ. In fact, it says, I'm safe in the hollow of his hand. The Bible tells us we're in God's hand, we're in Jesus Christ's hand, and the Holy Spirit seals us to the day of redemption. I don't know if you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit taking care of you. What more do you need? How much safer can you be? Well, you just don't know what life is throwing at us. Let me check. Yep, I can feel that. I'm still here. I'm going through the same things, right? The Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. There's nothing that's affected you that hasn't affected everybody else that's come along, right? People go, well, you don't have some of the things I have. Okay, well, maybe you don't have some of the things I have, but it's common to man. We're all dealing with the same type of stuff, the same issues, and where's our faith and trust? Are we trusting that we're safe in the arms of Jesus? Are we trusting that we're safe in His hand, safe in God the Father's hand, and sealed by the Holy Spirit? I imagine it would be really difficult for anyone, including Satan himself, to get you out of God the Father's hand, out of Jesus Christ's hand, and out of the sealing of the Holy Spirit. How much safer do you need to be? That's safer than the money at Fort Knox. Right? People are going, there's money at Fort Knox? Not anymore. We got rid of that. But I'm just telling you, you are as safe can be. If you're born again. Now people say, I have to wait until I die to have this eternal life. It's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible tells us that as soon as you are born again, you have eternal life. If you're a child of God, you have it now. We act like we're waiting to get it later. No, we have it now. We can enjoy eternal life now. Oh, I tell people all the time, what happens if you die? I'm never going to die. This body is going to die. I'm going to live forever. That's what the Word of God tells me. As a child of God, I'm going to live forever. We talk about getting older and older and older, and we keep talking about how these bodies are breaking down and breaking down and breaking. I've got news for you. I'm going to live forever, and I'm not going to break down. It's going to be so nice to have no more aches and no more pains. No more glasses. No more hearing aids. I mean, it's going to be so nice. Not going to have to go to the eye doctor and say, okay, how bad is it? We already know, right? I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to put your glasses on and say, I still can't see, right? Then you take them off and say, whoa, I can see better with them than I can without them, but you have to figure it out. It's like going and looking at glasses the other day. Take these ones off, put the other ones on, and of course they have no prescription in them, and you're looking at them and they're going, so what do you think? I can't see them. How am I supposed to tell you if I like them or not? I can't see them. Give me my glasses back so I can see. Right? And then you go further along, and every once in a while you'll make a mistake, right? Because the words on the page change. They kind of start moving from one place to the other because the eyesight's going. Wouldn't it be nice not to have that? See, everybody who's wearing glasses knows what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't have them are going, that's never going to happen. Keep breathing, you'll get there. They used to tell me, you'll need them one day. I said, nah, I got great sight. Every time I've been to the eye doctor, it's like 20/20 vision. I can see far away, I can see close up, and then all of a sudden it was like, the arms got too short. I became my dad. It's going to happen. These bodies are going to die, but if you know Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior, you will live forever in a more glorious body. What more could you ask for? Turn over to John chapter 11, please. Verses 25 and 26. John 11, verse 25 says, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? See, I just said, I'm never going to die. I'm going to live forever. We're safe because God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and Him alone has saved us. In John 6:47, it says, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. Everlasting. For those of you who don't know what that means, it means it never ends. It's everlasting. The only condition for receiving eternal salvation from hell is faith. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to trust Him who died the death on the cross for man's sin, and rose again, conquering death for our justification. In Romans 6, 9 through 11 and verse 14, it says, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him, for in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And then 14a says, for sin shall not have dominion over you. Thank God he conquered that. Thank God he has allowed us not to have to deal with those things. We're safe in Jesus. Turn over to John, please, 3:16 through 18. John 3:16 is a very familiar verse. Everybody knows that. It's amazing to me, even lost people know John 3:16, and yet it doesn't seem to faze them that they need a Savior. 16 through 18, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where safety is. That's where security is. It's not in the things of this world. It's not in man. People are trusting in government to save them. Crazy. You want to talk about really crazy government? Government that doesn't have your best interest at heart? They're going to save you? From what? Them? Obviously not. But Jesus can save us. Jesus can take care of us. They were in jail, the Philippian jailer and all. He says, what must I do to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, right? He went on to say, and thou family too, right? Because once he got saved, he could go home and the rest of them could get saved by believing the same thing. There's some that said, well, automatically he got saved and his whole family was saved. No, they had to trust the same way he did. But don't they have a better opportunity now that he's got saved and he's gone and he can be an example to them and he can give them the Word of God? Be nice if it worked through osmosis, wouldn't it? For some people who are afraid to open their mouth and say anything. Yeah, it'd be great if it worked that way. It doesn't. We have to share what we learn. That's why I said earlier, it's my job to equip you to go out and produce more sheep. That's what it's about. No act of obedience preceding or following faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, such as turning over a new leaf. I like that one. Well, I turned over a new leaf. Doesn't do you any good. Baptism or any kind of works whatsoever do not do you any good as far as salvation in Jesus Christ. Doesn't work that way. I like when people say, well, I hope I've done enough good works that my bad works are outweighed. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. Right? It's what he did. Romans 4:5 says, but to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So works isn't going to work out for you, is it? Not what it's about. See, the problem is we all think, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something. We like to work, right? Well, some of us, we like to work. Others like to not do anything. But we like to work. We like to say, look at what I did. And see, God knew that. So God said, I'm not going to make this about man. I'm going to make this about me. You can't do anything to work for your salvation. Nothing. All you have to do is trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Pretty easy. I like gifts. Do you like gifts? Have you ever heard of anyone having to pay for a gift? It's kind of crazy, huh? Here, I want to give you this gift. It'll only cost you $250. I had to add inflation. It used to be 25. Sorry. I digressed for a minute. But it's not a gift if you have to pay for it. And free, my favorite price. Free. I don't understand why people turn down a free gift. But they do. They don't want a free gift. In Ephesians, it tells us it is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. Goes on to say, not of works, lest any man should boast. That's where I got the earlier part, was God knew that we would boast about it if we had anything to do with it. We'd be going around telling everybody how great we were, right? Patting ourselves on the back. It's not about us. It's about him. Titus. Turn over to Titus, please. I made reference to this already, but Titus 3, 5 through 8. Titus 3, starting in verse 5 and reading through verse 8. Says, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men. According to verse 8 there, we are to do good works, right? Now that we're saved. Not to keep us saved, not to get us saved, but because we are saved. See, there's a difference. There's some that are out there that are working for salvation, and they're coming up short. Those who are saved are working because they are saved, because they have salvation already in Jesus Christ. Not to maintain it, not to receive it, but because they already have it. There's a difference, a huge difference. Can you imagine one day we're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and we're going to get rewarded for what we do? Can you imagine as he casts those crowns at our feet? Why? So that we can give them back to him? Don't you want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant? I think that's much better than slothful, lazy, good-for-nothing goofball. I don't think he's going to use all those terminologies, but he might. But wouldn't it be better to know good and faithful instead of slothful, lazy? I'm just thinking it sounds better. The Bible tells us we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. Yeah. Goes on to say, unto good works. Unto good works. But to receive this free gift by the grace of God of eternal life is simply a matter of the repentant sinner having faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and receiving him and him alone as his or her personal Savior. It's pretty simple. Pretty simple. Turn back over to John, please, chapter 4. After we leave 4, we'll be going on to chapter 10. John chapter 4, 10 through 14. John chapter 4, starting in verse 10, it says, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children, and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. No man, including ourselves, can take us out of the protecting and keeping hand of God. Turn to John chapter 10. And we'll look at 28 through 30. John chapter 10, 28 through 30. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Now I mentioned, we're also sealed by the Holy Spirit. If we would just follow the simple instructions of the Bible, wouldn't that be great if we just follow the simple instructions of the Bible? We could be saved. Tells us exactly what we got to do. We can make a safe landing at our destination. If you're a child of God, your destination is home with Him. Where's God's abode? Heaven. He's made a great and marvelous and wonderful place for us to dwell with Him for all eternity. He wants us to enjoy it. Came across this story, and it fits really well. Two skydivers jump from a plane at 15,000 feet. Both are wearing parachutes. One of them folds his arm, ignores the ripcord, and says to himself, "I am perfectly safe because of this parachute." He's still saying those same words as he hit the ground. The other skydiver knows he will be safe only if he follows the instructions he was given and he pulls the ripcord and lands safely. That's where mankind is today. Either we pull the cord and head for safety, or we ignore the sacred manufacturer's instructions. Many are swiftly falling with a closed mind. They are gaining speed as they are looking for peace and safety in the things that promise life here with enjoyment while ignoring the manufacturer's instructions. That's what's happening, isn't it? People ignore the Creator's instructions. They ignore what they're supposed to do, and then all of a sudden, they find themselves in hell. Because they ignored the instructions. How they could easily avoid that, and yet they didn't. Jesus said in John 14, 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." See, these people who say there's many ways to get to heaven, Jesus says in that verse there's one way. And no one gets there but that way. Doesn't matter who they are. Well, yeah, but there's the richest man, right? Who is now, I guess, Elon Musk. Guess he beat out Bezos now. He's got all that money, right? But if he doesn't have Christ, he's got nothing. Doesn't matter. Without Christ, what good is it? Can't buy him heaven. I mean, he can buy Twitter, he can buy whatever he wants, I guess. But he can't buy heaven. We may not agree with the manufacturer's parachute. We may not like the color, the style, or the texture, but it's still a fact. The ripcord is the only choice to avoid destruction. I can insist that it's just too narrow, and I do not believe it will work, and then I could be dead wrong. It's the way it works. In 1 John 5, 12 and 13, he said, "He hath said, the Son hath, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That verse right there, that ye may know you have eternal life. Right? People say, well, I hope so. I think so. I might. No. The Bible says that ye may know. It's not a guess. Why? Because to guess, put yourself at great risk. To know is totally different. I like when I ask people this question. If you died today, do you know for 100% for sure you'd be on your way to heaven? I hope so. Wrong answer. It's supposed to be a no-so. I know I will. There's no doubt in my mind. Why? Because God said it. We've got to know for sure. In 2 Corinthians 1, 21 and 22, it says, now he which establisheth, us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given us the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. As I said, that's the Holy Spirit. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit. In Ephesians 1:13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Sealed. Can't get out of that even if you want to. And why would you want to? That's the thing I don't get. People ask me that. Well, if you decided you didn't want salvation anymore, could you get out of it? Why would you do that? You know what my answer to that is? Maybe you should check to see if you ever had it in the first place. Why would you give up salvation in Jesus Christ after you experienced it? That would be insanity, right? The Holy Spirit is God's mark of ownership. Yeah. His authority, His security over us. And nobody can remove us from that. The Bible says, all the way to the day of redemption. Turn to Hebrews 13. 5 and 6, please. Give you a workout today. Hebrews 13, 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. We are sealed. I'm going to go to Colossians chapter 3. But we are sealed with the guarantee of that promise. We're going to be Colossians chapter 3. Sealed with a guarantee of promise, the presence of the Holy Spirit, who is the one in whom we have been sealed by God. In Colossians 3, 1 through 4, it says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. When you became a child of God, you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. Paul said, I die daily. Why? Because every day we get up, it's a new battle. We battle this flesh against the spirit, right? It's a battle. As I've said many times, which one you feed is the one that wins. Every day, it's a new battle. So every morning you get up, you need to say, I die daily. And realize that we're safe in Jesus. Safe in Jesus. Where else can I go but to the Lord? We sing that hymn, right? Where else can I go but to the Lord? And when it comes right down to it, what do? We go everywhere but to the Lord. And then when we've exhausted every avenue and it's still a problem, we go, I think I'll pray about it. Right? I'm not the only one that's pulled that stunt. I know I'm not. When that's where we should go. And when we sing that hymn, where shall I go but to the Lord? It should be a reminder to us that that's where we need to go first instead of last. And let Him take care of us. Because we are safe in Jesus. As a child of God, you are safe in Jesus. Don't think you're going to find safety anywhere else. It's not there. It's not there. Jesus is our only hope. That's why the Bible's all about Him. I liked when somebody said it's His story. History, His story. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before Your throne of grace again. Father, we're thankful that we are safe in the arms of Jesus as Your children. But Father, that promise is only given to those who've accepted the free gift of eternal life. Those who are not cannot hold that promise. Father, again, as always, I pray if there's anyone in our midst that has never accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord, I pray, Father, today would be that day. Father, for those of us who have accepted that free gift, who have that relationship with Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, that if we're trusting in anything other than Jesus Christ for safety, that we would realize that that's futile. I pray, Father, that our heart's desire as a church and as individuals would be that every single human being would come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And that every last born-again believer of Jesus Christ would devote their lives to serving Him. So Father, we'll have this time of invitation and I'll turn it over to You as always. I pray, Father, that You would do a work in our hearts, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you'll stand with me if you're able, as the piano plays. If you need to come, you come. As God is always ready, willing, and able to hear from His people, and He's also ready, willing, and able to hear from a repentant sinner. So as the piano plays, if you need to come, you come.